Miami and Atlanta intersecting in a bunch of different ways right now, so I wanted to get the perspective of one of the best down there. That is our buddy Craig Mish. You can read him in the Miami Herald, Sports Grid TV. You can watch him there, and MLB Network as well. Craig, appreciate the time.
Sure, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. On the WadeFord.com hotline is Craig Mish. All right, let's start with the Marlins because they are in the middle of a series with the Braves. Explain to me what happened over the last couple of years. They were a playoff team, looked like they had some real pieces. Then injuries took place, and then we just witnessed yet another Marlins fire sale. Why?
Well, you know, Chris, I think that internally when they looked at it, they sort of evaluated the end of the season and decided at least that they just didn't feel like what they saw last year was going to be sustainable. So after doing that deep dive and kind of, you know, looking at how they got to the playoffs and why they got to the playoffs and, you know, how it kind of got to, you know, them to be there by making these trades and, you know, figuring things out halfway through the season, they wanted to try to do things a different way. And part of that is making sure they're hitting on free agents, which they haven't done over the last few years. And the other part is to draft and develop players that are going to play at the big league level. And, you know, inevitably, I mean, dialing it all the way back, they, you know, spoke to Kim Ng, the GM, about that and said, hey, look, we're going to bring in someone who is going to handle some of those things. You're going to be the GM of the team, and we're going to bring in a president to handle the overall operations. And she said no. And so Peter Bendix then was hired, took over, brought in his own people, and Chris decided that, hey, maybe this squad, minus Soler, can compete this year. Let's go ahead and take a look at it and see how we do. Unfortunately, Yuri Perez got hurt very early on, and the results early on in the season just didn't look good. The Tim Anderson signing initially didn't look good. And, you know, when they traded Arias, I think that that was kind of the white flag, so to speak, to say, hey, look, we may have overestimated how good we thought we would be, and now it's time to do things a different way.
Is the franchise in danger of maybe even a relocation or a re-identification of the franchise? Because how many years can you continue to sputter and before something drastic needs to be done, maybe even by the league itself?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I guess it's a fair assessment to be on the outside looking in, thinking that there's a chance of that. But they have a long lease with the city of Miami. The owner has no intention of selling. And on top of it, Chris, you know, Major League Baseball has no issue with the Marlins. They're letting the Oakland A's tear down to the stubs here, move to Sacramento for a couple of years, and then go to Vegas. So what does that tell you? So no issues at all with what the Marlins are doing. Chris, their payroll was $100 million last year, or close to it. It's just they didn't win. They want to try to do things a different way, and this is the result.
Yeah, when you look at it, there's a couple of names in the lineup you recognize, a Gordon here, a Berger there. What prospects, though, other than those guys that we don't really have familiar faces with, can Braves fans look at and say, that might be somebody that we could see for years to come?
Yeah, I don't know that there's anybody on the Major League team right now outside of the player they just traded for that's been playing Kyle Stowers, who they got from Baltimore in the trade where they sent Trevor Rogers, the pitcher, over there this past week. But beyond that, a lot of the players are going to be in the minor leagues right now. They acquired another player by the name of Connor Norby, who was on the Orioles, came up, and then went back down. He's working on second base and third base. I think the Braves fans will see him at some point, either later this year or next year. They also traded for De Los Santos, a player that's hit a ton of home runs at the minor league level, from the Arizona Diamondbacks for A.J. Puck. And then they got several players from the Padres who I don't think you'll see initially, but I think you'll see at some point next year. So, you know, for Miami, I'm sure that if you look at it with them getting Sandy Alcantara back and Yuri Perez back and arguably some better performances, I think that the team will be better next year than they are this year because they're on pace to lose over 100 games. But, I don't think the Marlins are delusional in thinking they're going to win like 90 games or anything like that next year. It's probably going to be another a similar year, but probably some improvement would be a guess.
Any chance we see Alcantara moved in the offseason as a high upsell sale?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about what moves this team could make to potentially get them back into a contention. And obviously he's a guy that we know when he's on, he could be one of the best pitchers in baseball. But we don't know, you know, when you come back from a long-term injury, it's always a crapshoot in terms of what type of pitcher you're going to get back. As we're talking with Craig Mish, he is a Miami insider extraordinaire covering baseball and all things Miami sports and nationally on Sports Grid as well. All right, I did want to hit on some things Miami Dolphins related as well, because the Falcons are going down to Miami this week for a practice and then a actual preseason game on Friday. The defense specifically, as you look at the team, I know they have a bunch of guys that are coming off serious injuries. Do you feel like it'll be enough to stop what, for the first time in forever, Craig, looks like a potent Atlanta offense?
I mean, in the preseason, I have no idea. But in the regular season, I think the Dolphins think they're better on defense than they were a year ago. They had a lot of injuries over the course of defensive line, the defensive backfield. You know, they had a lot of quick strike offensive plays to Tyreek Hill, which, you know, obviously doesn't give the defense a chance to recover. But in the end, I don't know if it's going to be significant enough for them to be, let's say, a 12-13 win team or anything like that. But I do think that their offense is going to carry the load once again like it did last year. Look, I know that what the Falcons did in the offseason was remarkable, adding the quarterback with an S, I guess, right? Adding two quarterbacks.
Yep.
But really, you know, I don't know if you're asking me about this week, but I mean, come on, Chris, NFL preseason, man, like this.
Well, listen, Craig, you know, here's the thing, my friend. The Falcons Nation, we are looking for anything right now, anything we can grab our hat onto. So if, you know, if the defense is able to stop Tyreek Hill for a play or two here, stop Waddle a play or two there, if Kirk can get a deep ball to Drake London over the head of one of the corner. I mean, we, after the last 6 years of not making the playoffs, after the collapse in 2016, you know, you get to a point where you're looking for any morsel you can get, and that includes preseason practices.
No, yeah. Oh, in the practices. Oh, yeah. No, the practices. I thought you meant the game. Yeah. I mean, listen, the practices could be a different story, but all those names that you mentioned, even on the Atlanta side, I'd be hard pressed to think that any of them are going to play in any preseason game, especially right out of the gate. They just started practicing a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see with how the practices go. Like, those things are also sort of hard to gauge. But the telling tale for week one of the NFL preseason is obviously to look at the totals, the betting totals. And the Hall of Fame game was, I think, 30. And I think most of the games this week that I looked at, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, are in the very low 30s. So that's a total of 5 touchdowns, which is far from normal in a National Football League game. And I just don't think the way that the NFL has constructed itself right now, they've made the preseason so meaningless, I think they're willing to do away with another game to add Week 18.
No, I think you're right. I think it'll be down to 2 or 1, or maybe they'll just say screw it and have these scrimmages as the entire preseason altogether, as we're talking with Craig Mish here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, philosophically speaking, for the Dolphins, they put a ton of money into their quote-unquote Big Three. Do you feel like that could jeopardize the roster long-term in terms of other pieces?
You know, it's a good question, Chris, but I would ask you this. Like, if you ask that question about every other quarterback in the history of the NFL, we always have the answer. The answer is it never does. The National Football League is making so much money. It's a salary cap league. When Brock Osweiler was signed and cut, they said they would never be able to do that, and they did it. When Russell Wilson was a complete bust, they said they would never be able to dump him. And the Broncos, I think, are going to field a team and play 17 games this year. So I just don't buy all that stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, if Tua in 2-3 years isn't what they thought he was, yeah, they'll eat some dead money and they'll have a new quarterback. It's just very overstated where you hear these teams are in cap trouble. I mean, Chris, they always find a way to have a team and play the season, and you never hear anything about it ever again. I think it's like more fabrication to me than anything else. We can all look at it and worry about it, but during week 4 of an NFL season, are we ever talking about a team's cap trouble? Never.
No, and it's funny because in our own division, the Falcons rival the Saints, they have become the masters at manipulating the cap, because the number comes out every year that the Saints are, you know, $100 million over the cap, and yet they're you know, they're signing big name free trade. They're getting you know, guys to come in for the defensive end, and they're paying them a $75 million contract with $50 million guaranteed, and you're like, how are they doing this when they're $100 million over the cap? So we've gotten used to seeing that in year in and year out. Now, in terms of Tua, what is the perception from home base there in Miami. What do the fans feel about him, and how do they feel about him getting the money?
Well, look, the fans, or any fan that is a fan of their team, generally speaking, is going to think that they're the best thing since anything, you know? So everybody loves Tua here. And it's like there's like sort of this complex from the Dolphin fan. They get bothered a lot when the national media talks about him in a certain way on some of these shows. I never understood that infatuation either, but I guess that that's like a thing. I don't think that the fans are delusional in thinking that he is one of the top five best quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think that's the case, even though he's paid the highest or second or third, whatever that is. But at the same time, I think it's very feasible that fans accept and understand that he's a top-end quarterback in the league, top 15, somewhere along those lines. And, Chris, that's good enough in this day and age of the NFL. There are not 30 good quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think there are 20. And I think Tua is above that mark. And I think the fans get that and accept that. And if he was a free agent, you and I both know that he would make more than $40 million a year, because the team that has the 28th best quarterback is going to go, wow, here's our shot. Just like Tannehill, just like Cousins, we've seen this before. So I think what we've reached is this day and age where it's not as good. It doesn't really matter how good you are as a quarterback. It matters when you're a free agent and the opportunity presents itself. And Tua's situation in a year or two presented itself in a way that some team would have, without a doubt, pulled the trigger on him to make him one of the highest or the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Dolphins had to get ahead of that.
All right, before I let you go, I think most people, an average sports fan, would say that the AFC East is a two-horse race between the Dolphins and the Jets, with the Bills being a huge wild card who could potentially win the division or finish third or fourth, and then the Patriots are in rebuild mode. How do you view the AFC East? Where do you put the Dolphins?
So I did a show this morning on my network on Sports Grid, and maybe, Chris, you'd be surprised to know that the Jets and Bills are pretty much neck and neck favorites to win the division.
Hmm.
Would that surprise you to hear?
No, I mean,
surprises me too. But a lot of people feel that with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and the defense, which is better than any other team in the division, even New England, has a chance to carry them there. Now, I don't see it that way. I think Rodgers goes, you know, on a team that won seven games and makes them a 9-win team, maybe. So I personally don't see it, but the odds makers seem to, and I never want to discount that. So I think that the Bills will take a little bit of a step back unless they're able to acquire a receiver at some point. So maybe this is the kind of division that's a little mixed up at the halfway point of the season. One team makes a trade and gets somebody. But other than that, I think it comes right down to the end. I think there's a good chance two teams make the playoffs, but I don't see three.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I just would have thought those two would have been the Dolphins and the Jets, not the Bills or any way, shape, or form. All right, appreciate the time as always, Craig. Make sure you check him out, as he just mentioned, Sports Grid, MLB Network, and Miami Herald as well. Appreciate the time.
Sure, Chris. Thanks for having me.